Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word. Our scripture for today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts this day be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, for these next few weeks, I'm asking us to open up our attentive eyes and hearts to the epiphanies in our life. These moments of aha, these moments of oh my, these moments in the routine and mundane of life that somehow or another the veil between the spiritual and the physical seems very thin, and we experience a transcendent moment of divinity, a Christ Jesus sighting. Now, if Jesus continues to remind us, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. When Jesus sends out to the disciples at the end with the very last words of the Gospel of Matthew, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." When Jesus reminds us that even when you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me, that says to me that Jesus is present in our life. And I would suggest to you that Jesus is in our life all the time. But there are certain times when the veil becomes thin and there is, oh my, he's here. Calling these Jesus sightings. With a little bit of humility, with a little bit of a heightened awareness and an open heart, we can see Jesus. Now, I have asked you to, if you have a Jesus sighting in the week, that you would let me know. Send me an email or use Facebook or Twitter or give some kind of, let me know if you had that kind of experience. And gratefully, many of you have. And there have been interesting ahas this past week. Some of you had Jesus moments and Jesus sightings Christmas in the gathering of family. In some instances, family members showed up that you weren't expecting, and you were all together, maybe for the first time in a long time, all together. And this was a moment of just Christ was in your midst. Others have shared the fact that suddenly an unexpected check came from an unexpected source out of the blue. enabled us to pay a debt burden that we did not think we could handle. Aha. Some of you had a Jesus sighting or a Jesus moment when you called on the phone asking a person to serve in the church, and their response was, "Of course, I would love to do that." So if you had a Jesus sighting when you asked a neighbor to come over and help with a chore, and he ended up staying an hour and a half to unload a burden that was heavy on his heart, and he left with that burden lightened. Some of you actually had a Jesus sighting before you left church last week. Some of you have Jesus sightings related to various people in this church that you meet and greet, and who have within their being this compelling joy of their heart that when you greet them, you just feel better all over. Some of you went out into the parking lot last week and discovered that your tire was flat, and an angel of mercy all of a sudden shows up and without even asking fixes it. And everybody around is going, "That's a Jesus moment." Now, some of you may think that these are all little mundane things, but when you're experiencing them, when you're in the middle of them, when they're happening to you, you're seeing Jesus in the real world. It's real. You know the story of the little girl in Sunday school who's sitting down and drawing a picture, and the Sunday school teacher comes up and says, "What are you drawing?" She says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And she says, "Well, don't you know? Nobody knows what God looks like." And she says, "They will in a minute." I want to take us to the scriptures now and to our Bible lesson for the day. We've always been fascinated, as Dina reminded us, of Jesus as a boy. What do we know about Jesus as a boy? And we know very little. Now, there have been attempts in the past of imaginary kind of works of trying to describe how Jesus might have been as a boy, but none of them are authoritarian. The only authoritative piece we have about Jesus as a boy is in the Gospel of Luke. And the reason I believe that we have this in the first place is because of Luke's intention when he writes his gospel, and he tells us this at the very beginning of his gospel. He says, "What I am doing is undertaking to set down in an orderly fashion what I have understood and what I have learned over these years." Luke was not an original disciple. He was part of the missionary team with Paul. But he spent time trying to understand the fullness of this story of Jesus. And so he interviewed eyewitnesses and servants of the word in order that he could investigate carefully and to set down in an orderly fashion these things that I have learned. Well, I truly believe, and what many scholars really believe, that he sat down with Mary in the midst of her grief and said, "Tell me the stories. Can you tell me any stories about your son? Tell me about when he was a boy." And I can imagine Mary in the fullness of the bitter sweetness of grief, but also in pure and pleasant memories. Oh, he was such a precocious little boy. I remember a time when we went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Oh, I remember it as if it was yesterday. And she tells the story. Now, as Luke describes it, he wants us to know a couple of things right off the bat. First of all, that Jesus' parents were very religious, and it was their regular every year duty that they would go to Jerusalem for the Passover. It was just one of the aspects of what it means to be in the covenant life of God, and that they were regular attenders of the great festivals of the faith. He also wants us to know that he's a boy. He's 12 years old. He's still a child. But then he tells us the story of the family going to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when it's done, they head back home. It's at least a 4, possibly a 5-day walk back from Jerusalem to Nazareth. And they get one day's journey, which is probably around Jericho, and they discover that Jesus is not with them. And everybody, you know, we all wonder, well, how in the world could that happen? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in small town Carrollton, I would get this often from my mother. Early in the morning, she would say, "Go out, I don't want to see you till dinner." And we would have a run of the town. It's too bad we don't have that anymore, but I grew up with that. Go home, I don't want to see you till dinner. And we would go. Jerusalem was not all that big. Yes, it was big, and in festival days it was crowded, but, you know, go, play. Well, Jesus, you know, the story goes, he was missing when they were looking for him, and back they go. After 3 days, they find him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. This is a picture I've seen all my life. I don't know if you've seen this one before, but typically this is the picture, even from my childhood, of Jesus with the teachers and the elders. I see it as a picture of affection. It's a picture of tension. These are older men who are fascinated by this little boy, giving him their fullest attention, honoring his presence, just appreciating the fact that he's with them, and they are having this incredible bonding time of talking about the great things of God. So the parents find him. Now, Luke says, when they saw him, they were astonished. Now, that's not the word I would use. I'm not sure I know the word I would use, but I know the feeling I would have. And that feeling is this incredible full body rush of relief and good news. I mean, a total overwhelming sense of there was a Jesus sighting this week that had an experience of that full body relief. It happens when you go to the doctor and the doctor makes a test and he says, "Your cancer is still in remission." Good news. Well, that's your first reaction. You have a next reaction. Your next reaction is quite different. "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and your mother, we've been searching you for 3 days and with great anxiety." Now, another Jesus moment. This is Ed Whipples. Ed is our minister of students. This week, he was having lunch with a couple of college students. The conversation came around to parents. And interestingly enough, they were saying, "You know, our parents are human, and they're doing their best. And You know, when I was in junior high and early high school, oh, we thought they were idiots. And now we know better. That should make you feel better. That we now know better. And there was this deep sense of repentance of how we treated our parents in those years. It's like the Mark Twain quip. You know, when I was 16, my father was an idiot, but when I turned 21, it was amazing how much he learned in 5 years. But then Jesus says, well, why were you searching for me in the first place? Didn't you know you would have found me in church? Well, no, they didn't know they would find him in church, but there he was. Will Willimon, I may have told this story before, but it's pertinent. Before he was bishop in the United Methodist Church, he was the campus university chaplain at Duke University. One day a father came to visit him and said, you need to have a talk with my daughter, and she's got this thing that's just come up. She says she wants to be a missionary, and you've got to talk her out of it. And Willimon says, I do? He says, yes, you do. We have been planning all her life for her to be a doctor. She has the grades for it. She has been planning on this. We have been working on this. We have the money to send her to have the best education. And this has been our plan all her life. And now she says she wants to be a missionary. And you need to talk her out of it. And Willimon says, well, when she was little, did you have her baptized? And he said, well, yeah. And then he said, well, were you faithful to your baptismal vows on her behalf? Did you raise her in the church? And he said, well, yes. And then he said, well, why then are you surprised that she has answered the call of God in her life? And then he said, maybe you should have thought of that before you had her baptized. Yes. He was such a precocious little boy, as Mary remembers the things that she held dear in her heart. Now, I believe that Jesus remembered this experience because it was always important to him, the importance of children in their midst. And over again, he would say, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. Do not hinder them. Do not keep them away, for to such as these is the kingdom of God. And unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you'll never enter it. I think a firm personal experience for him in that was his time when he spent in the presence of the elders who gave him their full attention, who respected him as a human being and listened and answered his questions and honored his presence in their midst. One more Jesus sighting, and I have permission to tell this one. George Lodge was with his teenage children this past week at the Perot Museum. They were visiting the exhibits. They were at the robotics exhibit. When George all of a sudden felt little eyes staring up at him. And so he looks down, and there's an 8-year-old little girl staring up at him, just staring. old George, you know, kind of ignored her a little bit, but she wouldn't go away. She's just staring. Then George turns and winks at her. And she runs off to her mother. Now, mother is coming straight to George. And she says, "I'm so sorry. But my little girl's grandfather just recently passed away. And you look a lot like her grandpa. Can she give you a hug?" George, "Of course." And so she turns away with mom and older sister, and out they go. 15 minutes later, they're back. "I'm sorry. Can she give you another hug?" "Okay. Thank you." Off they go. 10 minutes later, back they come. "I'm sorry, sir. One more." And she's the little girl says, "You wear your glasses just like my grandpa." Well, this time they got pictures. Seemed to take care of it, I think. Was that a Jesus sighting? When a little child in your midst offers you a moment of heaven. So what do we say? How do we go from this place today? My suggestion is this. First of all, parents, don't be in such a hurry and so distracted and so caught up in the busyness of stuff that from time to time you don't see the Christ in your children. Also, children, youth, students, for you too. Don't be so busy, so distracted, that you don't from time to time see the Christ in your mom and dad. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.